Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, world. It's time for RTWFC Bible Talk with Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood and his wife, Betty Yearwood. For the next 2 hours, join in with us in this Internet Radio Bible Discussion program. There'll be a special singing and call in and discuss the Bible with us. And now here's your host, Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood, live in Madisonville, Tennessee.
Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to be able to come back into your homes once again. This is Lloyd and Betty Yearwood, Reaching the World for Christ, and our subject tonight is, But This Is, Which Was Spoken by the Prophet Joel. So that's what we're going to be speaking on tonight. So if you want to be a part of this service, we want you to call in on 310-742-1759. That's 310-742-1759. Call in and get in here with us, and we'll just worship the Lord and have a great time in spirit and truth, and just have a good outpouring of the Holy Ghost time. So we've got some real good stuff here tonight, and I just believe that God's going to really move and really touch the hearts of people. So go ahead and call in on 310-742-1759. So we'll just get in here and worship the Lord. That's Reaching the World for Christ. So praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to praise God. I don't know which way to go here. I think I'll start out here tonight with Joel here, 2:28. You can turn over there to Joel 2:28 and find this. It says, And it shall come to pass, after that, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And you know, today, praise God, I feel that God is doing exactly the words that he said he would do. I believed in the last days he said he'd pour his spirit on all flesh. And you know, I thank God tonight that he has poured his spirit out on all flesh, and I praise God tonight because I feel of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I feel like that God is doing everything that he said he would do. My friend, that's all we've got to do is just trust the Lord and believe what thus saith God's word, and then we'll make it. We'll go good. We'll have everything that God said if we'll just be obedient to him. Let's look into Acts 2 and 36 and going down through 39. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know surely that God have made the same Lord who ye, the same Jesus who ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. You know, praise God. I'm glad tonight to know of that same Jesus. God made him Lord and Christ, the same one that they crucified. You know, the people their sins what crucified Jesus. He done that because he wanted to forgive us of our sins. He wanted to make it possible for us to make heaven our home. And you know, praise God, before that they took lambs and they took little doves and they killed them and they hung them up on the made doves and things like that for a sacrifice. But praise God, I'm glad tonight to know and be able to report that this same Lord and this same Jesus that was crucified, God made them, praise God, to be the sacrifice. He's the only sacrifice that we have the need of. Praise God, is because he's the one, praise God, that come down from the throne of God, and he come down, and he was willing to go, because he said there, he went into the garden, and he cried out, he said, the Father, he said, if it be thy will, he said, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, but my will or thy will be done. Praise God. He said, the flesh was weak, but the spirit was willing. My friend, tonight, I'm here to tell you, praise God, that God is still the same God. He's still got his son, as his son is still, his blood is still out there. Praise God, I'm making intercession for you and I. His blood, praise God, is covering all of our sins, and it takes us a crying out to him. It takes us a calling up on him and saying, Lord, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins and forgive me of my trespasses. And the Lord, the same Lord, the same Jesus that was nailed up on that old cruel cross that hung up there, praise God, his life brought our sins. His life paid the debt that we could not pay. I'm so thankful tonight to know, hallelujah, that I know and that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I know, hallelujah, beyond every shadow of a doubt, that he is the one, praise God, that come and hung on the cross, that we could have this life and have it more abundantly. Without him, we wouldn't have nothing. But praise God, through Jesus, we have life. Through the Christ, we've got eternal life. And praise God that it's going to pay off one day after a while. We'll walk on the streets of gold. One day after a while, we'll move into our new mansion. Because God said, Jesus said, it's there's a speedy that I go away. If I go not away, the comfort will not come. Then he said, it was, praise God, he said, where I go, you may come on later. And in the paraphrasing just a little bit, he said, there where I am, there you may be also. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. Praise God, I tell you, he said, there's many mansions. I'm looking forward one day. After a while, praise God, to move into that new mansion that he told us that we could have. Hallelujah. Let's look into verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Praise God. What shall we do? They were was concerned about something. They was wanting to know, in other words, how to have eternal life. But praise God, I'm glad that Peter here, he answered them. Peter gave them a simple answer because they asked him a simple question. It said, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He talked about this that was prophesied of Prophet Joel. He's telling them, you're going to receive something, hallelujah. Praise God. You're going to receive the presence of the Holy Ghost. And Jesus told them over there, he said, it's the speed that I go away. and I'll pray to the Father, and he will send you another comforter, the Holy Ghost, and he will lead you into all the truth, and he'll guide your footsteps. In other words, he'll tell you how to walk. He will convict your sins. He's the one that will convict you if you will let him. And you can turn to the Lord and ask him to come into your life. And whenever he comes in, my friend Paul said, behold, all old things have passed away, and I've become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Let's look into verse 39. It says, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Oh, praise God. I'm glad tonight to know that Jesus is still calling. I'm glad tonight to know, praise God, that he's still reaching out to the people around the world. He's still to them that don't know him as their personal Savior. He's still calling out to them and telling them, say, come, come, and let me forgive you of your sins. Let me wash your sins away. Let my blood that I spilled on the cross 2,000 years ago cover your sins and make you whole, make you white as snow. Put your life on the line. Praise God that you can make heaven your home. He said, I'll write your name in the new book, in that book of life. He will write your name, my friend. You must come to the Lord and repent of your sins. You must come to him and ask him to forgive you of your sins. Let's look into Acts 2:16. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Excuse me just for a second. Praise the Lord. Acts 2:16 through verse 18. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Praise God. That's the title of our message tonight. Praise God. This is, but this is the spoken by prophet Joel. He was telling us that he would pour his spirit out on all flesh in the last days. Let's look on down into 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters and shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's what God is telling us here. Praise God. He said in the last days, he will pour his spirit on all flesh. I'm so thankful tonight that everybody, praise God, can feel the presence of God. I'm so thankful tonight that everybody got the right to feel the presence. But my friend, except you repent of your sins, you'll not have the Spirit of God dwelling down in you. He'll speak to you, but you've got to heed to his calling. You've got to listen and turn from your wicked ways and turn your life over, turn it around, and let God have you, and let your life be manifested unto God. And you've got to dwell in the Lord, and the Lord dwell in you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's look into verse 18. And on my hand, on my servants and on my handmaids, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Hallelujah. You know, praise God, I'm glad tonight to know, hallelujah, that God pour his spirit out on people today, and they can prophesy the word of God. And you know, I'm telling you tonight, if you don't accept the prophecy of God's word, my friend, you're in trouble. But you've got to accept the prophecy of God's word. And if you'll accept the prophecy of God's word, then you can walk uprightly before him. You can do the things that God told you to do. I tell you what, praise God. I'm glad tonight to know, hallelujah, that God does speak to people. I'm glad tonight to know, hallelujah, that God will speak in people here and senses to his voice, that small, still voice. God will tell them what to do, and people can heed to it. People can go and take heed to what the Word says, and they can listen. They can minister to other people through the Spirit of God, through the presence of the Almighty. They will, hallelujah, heed, and they can take authority over the powers of the enemy by just being obedient unto God. Hallelujah. Let's look into Acts of the first chapter and verse 4. Hallelujah. Praise God. Acts 4, chapter 1 and verse 4. And being example, assembled together with them, command them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, yea, ye have heard of me. And you know, praise God, he's telling them there, wait for the promise. He's telling us not to separate, not to leave. You know, a lot of times people get in too big of a hurry and they leave before God really gets through with them. I tell you, there's a lot of times people, you know, if I call you on the telephone and if I run my mouth real fast and real swift, like a lot of times we do whenever we pray, and we don't stop and listen for our answer, then there's something wrong. We don't ever know nothing. But praise God, we need to stop. We need to slow down. We need to take time to listen after we talk to him for an answer. He will give us an answer. I know. Oh, praise God, I know that he will. And there's been times, there's been times that I've been guilty of being too fast myself and not heeding, I'm not listening to the voice of God. But I tell you what, we have to say, oh me, and we have to get up and shake ourselves and pray and ask him to forgive us for that and go on and do what he told us to do. Let's look into verse 5, still in the fourth chapter of Acts there. First chapter and verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Hallelujah. You know, praise God, not many days. As you've been baptized with the water, God has given us a promise that we can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I believe it's time that we get ourselves sanctified, get filled with the Holy Ghost. I believe it's time that we cry out to God and say, God, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my trespasses and turn my life around. And I want the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I know whenever back in 1975 when I started seeking for the Holy Ghost, I started crying out for it. I just wore the altars out seeking for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But I still had a little pack of cigarettes in my pocket. And I had to one night say, Lord, I want you to deliver me from these cigarettes if that's what's keeping me from receiving the Holy Ghost. And praise God, I'm so thankful, hallelujah, that he reached down. He delivered me from my cigarettes, and he changed my life. Hallelujah. He gave me a new walk of life. He gave me a new discerning, a new way, praise God, for me to go. And I'm so thankful, hallelujah, that he did that, because he changed my life that night. I've never have crossed every T and dotted every I like I should, but praise God, I'm a-striving. I'm a-doing my very best. I tell you what, I received the Holy Ghost just a few days after that. I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues, running in a circle. I was about 250 or 300 people in that congregation. I received this that Prophet Joel was telling us about in the last days. He said he'd pour his spirit on all flesh. I believe tonight, praise God, that he is still doing that same thing. Hallelujah. He said he would, and we're in our last days. I believe it. Praise God, I tell you, I believe we're in our last days closer than a lot of people really think. A lot of people really realize. Hallelujah. Let's look into sixth verse. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of to Israel? You know, praise God. I was studying there this evening, and the Lord dropped this in my spirit. You know, Israel was torn down, and you know when it come back to be a nation in 1948. I praise God. That's whenever God set Israel back again. That's when he built a kingdom back there again. Israel have become a nation in 1948. But we can read, hallelujah, praise God. Verse 7, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the time or the season which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the othermost part of the earth. You know, praise God. Hallelujah. I tell you what. They were asking Jesus there. They asked him a question. They said, can you tell us the time that Israel is going to be set back up? But Jesus told them, praise God, let me see here where I'm at. Verse 7. This is the answer that Jesus gave them. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the time or the season which the Father hath put in his own power. You know, praise God, it wasn't a time and it wasn't a season for them to know because Jesus was walking there with them. But I tell you what, I'm so thankful to know, praise God, that in 1948 it become another nation. It rose back up again. And praise God, I'm telling you here tonight, I praise God that God is still, he said we would have power, hallelujah, after the Holy Ghost has come upon us. We've got power. We're getting the doors opened up. We're getting our eyes opened up to the things, praise God, that people couldn't see back there in the Bible days. But praise God, I'm so thankful tonight to know, praise God, that they are, hallelujah, the doors are being opened in 1948, hallelujah. Praise God, I'm so thankful tonight that God is revealing things to us, hallelujah, that we couldn't see back before. But thank God for Jesus. Hallelujah. He told us all of this, what would be going on. Praise God. I'm so thankful, hallelujah, for him tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. I see we got a call in here. 706, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at. 706. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, right there I am. Praise the Lord. 706. Come on and tell us who you are and where you're at.
This is Frieda Litchfield in Thomaston, Georgia.
Oh, praise the Lord. Proud you called in there, sister. Sorry about having to ask you there about two or three times. I'm not used to this, trying to run it here and just trying to get used to it. So proud you called in. So just go ahead and obey the Lord there.
No, you go ahead. I just want to listen tonight. I want to hear what you got to say. Go ahead.
Praise the Lord.
I'm doing good.
Well, you just might as well be ready there in a few minutes because I've just about preached what I've had here to preach. All right, let's see here. Okay, Acts 2, 1 through 4. And then I'll be finishing up. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there they was all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house wherein they were sitting. And they appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You know, praise God, I'm glad tonight, hallelujah, just to know, praise God, the day of Pentecost was fully come, and the Spirit of God was poured out upon each of them. You know, I believe we can find it over there. Was it Murray? I was sitting in the congregation, and they were all up in the upper room, and there were about 120 of them, and they were sitting up there, and Jesus told them to go up there and stay until they received power from on high. And they went up there, and they were sitting up there, and they heard that mighty rushing wind coming down from heaven, and it filled that whole house. It filled a house full of His power, full of His Spirit, and praise God, the Holy Ghost set up on each of them, and they went outside, praise God, and they said they were drunk, but Peter said this, only being the third hour of the day, they're not drunk on wine as you suppose, but this is the Holy Ghost. Praise God, this is what Joel prophesied of. Joel, he said, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And praise God, we can find on down here in Acts 2:16, it says, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Hallelujah. Praise God, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour my spirit, I will pour my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Hallelujah. You know, that let me know today, praise God, that them things are happening. God said it, and I believe it. God is doing it, and I know, praise God, that them things is happening because he said that it would. I'm so thankful tonight to know, praise God, that this, that was what was spoken of by Prophet Joel is still here today. Hallelujah. It's still being poured out across this land today, and people are still receiving it, and people are still being touched by the mighty power of the Holy Ghost. That is what reaching out to us tonight. That's what's calling us tonight under repentance. That's what's calling us tonight, telling us that we must repent if we want to walk the streets of gold. If we ever want to make heaven our home, we've got to do just exactly what God said. I'm so thankful tonight, praise God, that God is doing that same work. Oh, hallelujah. I'm so praising God for everything that he's done for us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let me, we got a call in here. Let me see, 770, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at. Praise God. 770.
Praise the Lord, Brother Lloyd. This is Brother John from Thomaston, Georgia.
Okay, praise the Lord. We're glad you called in here. We're going to play a song here, Brother John, and we'll get you to obey the Lord there without Sister Frida wants to. She done called in, but she was just listening there, she said. So we'll get one of us to obey the Lord there just in a minute.
All right.
We're going to play God Told Me to Walk a Little Further. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Appreciate that song. I think I'll have this praise report give that we got. We've been praying about here. We just got it there a little while ago. Come back to us over the line. So this will touch all of us and lift us up and build our spirit up a little bit there.
Sister Debbie Jones went into the hospital with a massive heart attack, and they wasn't expecting her to live. And her sister-in-law, Kay Glover, wrote and told us that Debbie is alert and talking, and her husband's astonished, and said, "Thanks to everyone who has whispered a prayer for my brother and sister-in-law. God gave them a miracle. A week ago, they didn't expect her to pull through. God is good. Thank God with us for his mighty healing hands. God bless you."
Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. I mean, she was in Dalton, Georgia in the hospital. We know them personally, and they wasn't expecting her to live, and they started to fly her out of there one time to Chattanooga to a hospital, and she wasn't able to go, and so I think they finally did get her stable enough to maybe send her to Chattanooga to the hospital. But she woke up, I reckon, this morning, and she was aggravated. Somebody cut her hair while she was on her life support. But she's a talking, alert, doing good, so just praise God for that. So, Brother John, you're a sister free to either one of you. Go ahead there.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Brother John. No, you go ahead. Go ahead. I'm just going to listen tonight.
Okay. All right. Well, praise the Lord.
But
you know,
can I give a praise report before you get started, though?
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know if everybody knows, but, hey, back here in Thomaston, the electricity bills have been going sky high, so... But I thank the good Lord. I was able to finish paying this month's bill, and just keep praying that the Lord will make a way. When you think there ain't no way, the Lord will make a way. But I still,
amen.
I think the Lord will give me favor, because I found out today how much my next bill is, and it's around the same hundred it was last night. But you know what? I've got friends and friends. If I need help, they'll help me. So I thank the Lord that he is working it out, and maybe we can get this one paid better than we did this month. So go ahead, Brother John. That's all I want to say.
Praise the Lord. I don't know what you covered yet, Brother Lloyd. Where were you coming out of? Where were you preaching out of, Brother?
Well, I started my text in Joel 2:28.
Okay.
And I went from there to second chapter of Peter. I mean Acts, I'm sorry. Second chapter of Acts. And the first chapter of Acts. That's where I ministered from there tonight.
All right. Well, God's got us on the same page and everything, and I just don't want to overrun what you have given, but maybe we can add to. You know, I trying to get on tonight, and the enemy was hindering, and so praise the Lord. You know, it's good to hear these praise reports, but even though he hindered, you know, this mountain has moved out of the way. So I know you've covered a lot, and you've already spoken, and I just speak what the Lord has given me on my heart. It might be some of the same things. But, you know, the Bible speaks of that out of the mouth of two, three witnesses, every word be established, amen. So
amen.
If I give the same thing, or, you know, maybe, you know, the Bible speaks of in Corinthians Apostle Paul planted, Apollos watered, God gives an increase. So we're just believing that God will, as we that are flesh decrease, that God will, you know, increase. And so,
amen.
As he increases tonight, you know, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 9 that the increase of his kingdom and government, there shall be no end. So this is all about the Lord. This
amen.
Is his service. This is revival, and we're just, we're just giving it to him. So I'm just going to come from what the Lord has laid upon my heart about this, and I'm going to start out in Acts chapter 2, starting with verse 1. Like I said, you might have covered it, but maybe some people just turned in. So, amen, this is, the Word of God is always good, amen. It's always fresh. It's fresh manna, amen. So it says that when
amen.
The day of Pentecost will come, they were all with one accord in one place. They had gathered themselves together, amen, at the feast. This was the 50th day. This was the Feast of the First Fruits after the Feast of Passover, amen. And so it had fully come, amen. Tonight, amen, we need to fully come to the Feast of the First Fruits tonight. We need to fully come into the presence of the Lord. We need to fully come. And not only do we need to fully come, but just like I said, this proves one thing, you know, because as Brother Lloyd already brought out, you know, he was in the same chapters and verse that I was in. So we are in one mind and one accord. So God's promise that he will move upon this tonight, amen, he will do this. And, you know, the Bible speaks of in Acts chapter 4, I believe it's verse 30. It talks about 31. It says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. You know, tonight, church, I don't know about you, but when we pray, the place where we're praying needs to be shaken. Amen. Hallelujah. You know,
amen.
Why we won't shake heaven and earth. But amen, tonight, the Bible says in James chapter 5 that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You need to know that, amen, is prayer is bombarding heaven. Amen. It's moving heaven. It's moving heaven and earth. Amen. And there's a God that will answer from his throne room. There's a God that will roar out of Zion. There's a God, amen, that will come. And the Bible says in the multitude, in verse 32, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. They were in agreement tonight. If we'll just come in agreement, the Bible says in Psalms, how beautiful is it that brethren dwell in unity. You know, tonight we have a promise, amen, that he'll come as we dwell in unity. The Bible says that can two walk together except they be agreed in Amos 3:3. And I believe that we're in agreement, amen, talking about that which the prophet Joel, amen, amen, spoke of, amen. And the Bible says that we're of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed were his own, but they had all things common. And just like that, they were talking about the possession. But you what? Tonight, the word of God, amen, we all, it belongs to us all. The word of God, the power of God, the Holy Ghost of God belongs to each and every one of us who will receive it tonight. And I'm glad that he's no respecter of persons, that he'll pour out his spirit. And the Bible says, and suddenly in verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Tonight, you need to know something. God wants to fill the house right where you're at, amen, with the Spirit of God. He doesn't want to just give you a little bit. He doesn't want to give you a little tab, a little dab of duty years ago, amen. They had a hair cream called Brill Cream, amen, and they said a little dab will do you. But tonight, amen, truly the Holy Ghost, a little dab will do you. But we're not Scooby-Doo tonight, but we are the Holy Ghost, amen, receiving of the Spirit of God, and he'll fully fill the house wherever you're at tonight. I don't care if you're in the brushland of Africa. I don't care if you're in the Arctic. I don't care if you're in the cold. I don't care if you're in Siberia tonight. God will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Amen. And he will come and he'll fill the house wherever you're sitting. It doesn't matter. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says there came a sound as a rushing mighty wind. This was like a whirlwind. This was like a tornado. And that's the way God does. He'll come in because the Bible says in name he's in the whirlwind. Amen. He led them by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of cloud a pillar of fire by night. That pillar came from heaven to earth, amen, and it was like a whirlwind. And tonight, amen, they heard that sound, amen, of the very Spirit of God. And the Bible says it was a mighty wind. Why? Because we serve a mighty God. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, he is the mighty God. He is the Spirit of mighty. In Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 through 4, talks about the mighty God and the mighty Spirit, amen, and the seven spirits of God. And it's talking about the seven eyes of the Lord that go to and fro in all the earth. And tonight we can receive those seven spirits, amen, that can be in our life. And the Bible says, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. In other words, there is an appearance, amen, of cloven tongues of fire before them. and this fire set upon each and every level. Tonight you need to know, amen, John, amen, the Baptist spoke about a voice. He was the voice crying in the wilderness. He was not that light, he said in John chapter 1, but he was the witness of that light. Tonight, you need to know that we are the voice of that light, the true light. Amen. As we give you the word of God, the Bible says in him was the light, and the light was the light of men. Tonight, if you're sitting in darkness, God will give you the light. Not only the light, he will give you the light that will give you life. Hallelujah. In the midst of that darkness. Amen. And tonight, he's calling you out. The Bible says, for you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Amen, that you should be called out of darkness into his marvelous light, that the light of the gospel shall shine in your heart, amen, tonight. And the Bible says, hallelujah, that it set upon them, each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Holy Spirit began to give them an utterance. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, talks about the spirit of intercession. Amen. We will make with groanings with utterings. When we know not what to pray, and as they sit there, and they were all filled, you need to know tonight as we come, amen, we get all filled. Amen. Some of you, amen, some of you might not have a vehicle, but some of you have a vehicle, a car, amen. For that car to continue running, you've got to go to the filling station and get filled up. But sometimes you're not able, amen, as Sister Frieda was talking about, maybe you're not able to fill up. But I'm talking about a place tonight that we can come to the filling station. I'm talking about, amen, and when you get filled up, you don't have to go to the cashier window because your fill-up's already been paid for. It was bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have to worry, amen, when I come, amen, to the filling station of the Holy Ghost tonight. I can just pull in, amen, and fill up and pull out, amen. And it's all right if it overflows a little bit, amen, you know. Here in America, you're instructed, amen, if you go to the gas station to watch it as you fill up so that it won't overflow and get gas on the driveway because of fire. But I'm talking about, amen, a fill up tonight. David said in the Psalms, he said, my cup runneth over. And you need to know tonight, amen, as John said, he said, I indeed baptized with water unto repentance, but there's one cometh after me whose shoelaces, excuse me, that I'm not worthy to unloose, who shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. There's a promise tonight that's coming to you. Amen. In fact, the Bible speaks of that in those days, amen, that the apostles, amen, began to lay hands upon them, and they were given the gift of the Holy Ghost. And Simon, amen, the sorcerer, he thought he could buy the gift of God. He said, give me this money, amen, let me give you some money to buy this gift, that when I lay hands on somebody, they'll receive this gift. And Peter said unto him, thy many perish with you, thinking that you can buy the gift of God. Church, tonight is a gift that is given to those that will ask, to those that will receive, to those that will be filled up. And tonight, amen, when you fill up, you don't have to worry about what it says, amen, there on the pump, because it's already paid for. The Lord Jesus Christ, your Heavenly Father, has already paid in full, amen. Amen, whatever you have need of tonight. And the Bible says, amen, and they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Here at the Feast of Pentecost, there were Jews from every nation that had gathered themselves at Jerusalem because of this feast. The Bible speaks of, in Exodus chapter 23, I believe it is, somewhere around verse 17, talks about three times a year that the males would gather together in Jerusalem because of the feast. This was one of the times, amen, that they gathered together, amen, and separated themselves and come, amen. He said, now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Here they had come. Amen. These were men that were Galileans. And the Bible says in verse 7, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? In other words, those that Galilee had their own dialect. They had their own tongue. They had their own speaking. Amen. and hallelujah. They were all Galileans, and here are these men from all over the world. All these Jews had come to Jerusalem, and here are these men, Galileans, who were perceived, amen, amen, at this time to not be real learned, amen. But how they said here in verse 8, and how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? How do we hear the language, amen? You have to understand that the Bible speaks of, let's go on to a little bit there, a little bit farther. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, every one of these Jews that were from different countries and from different areas, amen, they heard these Galileans speaking in their own language, praising God and worshiping God and declaring the words of God. He said, Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. They had heard, amen, there in the wonderful speaking, amen, and in their language that they were born in. And they knew that these men, amen, had not learned this language. They knew that these men had not obtained this language, amen, or their tongue, amen, where they were born in a natural way. You know, the Bible says, I believe it's in 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. This Spirit fell upon them, and they were confounded and confused. They couldn't understand. This was the work of the Spirit tonight, church. Amen. The natural man cannot discern the things. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that the carnal mind is enmity against the things of God. This was the work of God, and they couldn't understand it. This was a word that came from heaven. This was how he would speak unto them, hallelujah. This was how he would show himself unto them. And the Bible says, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? What does this mean? We don't know what this means. Amen. Tonight, if you don't know what this means that, amen, that the Spirit of God is being poured out just like as Joel spoke up in the second chapter of the book of Joel. Excuse me. He said, others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, verse 14, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem. In other words, he was speaking to all the Jews. He was speaking to all those that were gathered there. He was speaking to all those, amen, as they heard. Because they had said, oh, these men are full of new wine. These men are drunk. Amen. And the Bible says, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:7, those that sleep in the night, and those that are drunk in the night. These were men that were not be openly drunk in the day, and these men had come out. It was the third hour of the day. It was the hour, the first time that they would go to prayer. And as they were called to prayer, amen, amen, as the men came, amen, in the third hour, this was 9 o'clock in the morning, they were not drunk as new wine, as they supposed, being that it was the third hour of the day. The Bible says, but this is that. This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. Hallelujah. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. You know, that's what Joel spoke of there in Joel chapter 2. Just as Brother Lloyd already brought out, this is just a confirmation. But you need to know something. The book of Joel, when he was speaking, he was a prophet. And amen. And what had happened is in that day, come on, church, you need to know that what would happen in the days of Joel, what was happening in the days of Joel, because what had happened in that land, they had declared unto their children, he said, tell your children and your children's children and your children's children. In other words, unto four generations, you need to tell them that thou which the palm of worm hath fed, that hath locust eaten, and thou which the locust hath eaten, hath the cankerworm eaten. And that which the cankerworm had left at the caterpillar eaten. There was an army of God. There was just a pestilence that came in the land. You have to understand, amen, for it was like a nation, amen, that come upon them strong without number. The teeth were said, the teeth of a lion, and had the cheek teeth of a great lion. And the Bible said that it laid the vine waste, amen, and barked the fig tree. You have to understand that in the times before this army came, this before the pestilence came, before the famines came, it was a land, amen, that was green, a land with the fig trees in it. Everything was moving, amen, hallelujah, and hallelujah. But all of a sudden, now let it come. Things begin to dry up. The vine dried up. Amen. The fig tree languished. Amen. The pomegranate, the trees, and the palm trees, the trees begin to die out because the joy of men had withered. Everything that was life, that was full of life, that all of a sudden across the land became pestilences and famines and trees dying out because men's joy had left them. Hallelujah. And they come, amen, and talked about, amen, that the herds of cattle were perplexed. There was no pastures. Everything was drying up, burning up. Amen. Just desolate. Amen. Just dry places. But amen, he began to speak. Amen. In that second chapter, he told them to blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm. Amen. He talked about a day of darkness and a day of gloominess. He talked about as this army, amen, this fire would go before them, behind them a flame burned. The Bible said before them that they come, it was like the land of Eden, the Garden of Eden. Amen. But after they came, amen, hallelujah, amen, it was just a desolate wilderness and nothing would escape this army. Just like I said, there were four types of, amen, of this pestilence. And what the one left, the other one ate. And by the time they got done, there wasn't nothing left. Amen, and amen, that's the way, amen, the world is today, that it's seeming like there's nothing left. And someone would thrust one and another, amen, and talked about. But amen, going down there in verse 15, he said, blow the trumpet in Zion and sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. In other words, it's time for us to come together. It's time to gather the people and sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, those that suck the breath. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. In other words, when they had come, amen, it's a time to return and repent of the Lord. It's time to come to the Lord, amen, and seek the very Spirit of God tonight, church. Amen. And the Bible says that the priests and the ministers weep between the porch and the altar. They begin to cry out to God to save us and give not your inheritance to reproach or to the enemy. They had come to a place where they've been desolate. Maybe you've come to a place where you've been desolate, but tonight you're the heritage of the Lord. You're the planting of the Lord, trees of righteousness, and you're not to live the way you. You don't have to live here anymore like you came. You don't have to leave like you came tonight, because he will pour out his Spirit. And the Bible said that the Lord would answer them, amen. And when he answered them, he said, in verse 19, he said, I'm going to send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith. And I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. He said, I will remove far from you the northern army and will drive them into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea and to the hinder part. Amen. He said in verse 21, fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Tonight, church, no matter what you're going through, no matter how much has been devoured of your life, you need to know that God will do great things for you tonight. And the Bible said, be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pasture of the wilderness to spring, for the tree bears her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their fruit. He said, be glad in verse 23 of Joel chapter 2. Ye children of Zion, rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down. Hallelujah. Unto you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain. In the first month, amen, you would have, amen, the first rain, the former rain, and the latter rain, amen, would come forth, and the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with wine and oil, and I will restore unto you the years that the locusts have eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the palmerworm, my great army which I sent among you, and ye shall eat in plenty. You need to know something tonight, church. I'm just not reading words. This is a prophecy.
Amen.
He said, you say, this is a modern-day prophecy. This is a modern-day prophecy. He said, and the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall be overflow with wine and oil. You got to remember, he just talked, he said, I'm going to turn it around. I'm going to give you the former and the latter rain together. That's pointing out, that's talking about his church. There's going to be a growing season right now. Everything's desolate around your life. Everything was gone. It was destroyed by the cankerworm, the palmerworm, the locust, and the caterpillar. But he said, you know what? I'm going to restore to you the years that this great army took from you. He's a restorer of years, church. Right now, he's restoring of you. Some of you said, well, I'm too old. I'm too far gone. I've done this. I've lost everything. You haven't lost anything until you've lost Jesus. And tonight, Jesus is not lost. Amen. Amen. He said, he's a friend that's sticking close to them, bro. He's right there where you're at. Amen. He'll come to the house just like he did to them. You know what? They were praying. They were asking for the Lord. And he came and filled the house. You need to know tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ still makes house calls tonight, church. He'll come in and dwell. Amen. He's the great physician. And the Bible says that you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that have dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. His people come to a place tender for his word, according to Joel chapter 2, verse 26, that his people should never be ashamed. Are you a child of God tonight? You should never be ashamed. If you're a child of God tonight, you should never be ashamed. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. There again, he reiterates, my people should never be ashamed. Why? Because I'm your Lord and I'm your God. Tonight, church, if you have the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, after this, after they begin to eat plenty, after they begin to be satisfied, after he begin to restore the years, then Joel begin to prophesy. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Here he is talking about initially, amen. He was talking about, amen, the children of Israel talking about their sons and their daughters. We begin to prophesy. Prophecies for the church. Prophecies for upbuilding. Prophecy, amen, is foretelling. He said when he poured out his spirit upon all flesh, your sons and your daughters would begin to shall prophesy. He didn't say they might prophesy. He said they will prophesy. He said your old men shall dream dreams. There is a vision, and your young men shall see vision. God is giving revelation to his young men. God is giving revelation through night visions to the elder, the mature. God is giving prophecy unto your sons and daughters. God is giving prophecy when it's being poured out. God is giving revelation, the vision. The Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. Here's God pouring out his spirit. What is he doing? He's giving you the mystery. He's revealing unto you the mysteries of the kingdom. He's giving you the revelations. Amen. He's giving you the visions. Amen. So you're not perished. He's giving you, amen, the mysteries. And he's giving you his secrets. Church, he's pouring out his spirit. He's pouring out everything that's within him unto you. And also upon the servants. Amen. And upon the handmaids in those days where I pour out my spirit. What was he talking about here? This was, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, that it first came into the Jews and then to the Greeks, in other words, to the Gentiles. In other words, what he was saying, he would pour out on the circumcision, amen, and also on the uncircumcised, or the uncircumcised first, on the circumcision first, and then he would pour his spirit out upon the uncircumcised, amen. Hallelujah, he would be no respecter of person, because the Bible says in Acts chapter 10, that on Cornelius, as he was praying of the Italian man, that also on the Gentiles, amen, was poured out the Holy Ghost, amen, and they spoke as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. You need to know, amen, the Bible says, he said, and I will show wonders in the heavens, amen, and in the earth, hallelujah, and fire and pillars of smoke. This is what he would do when he poured out his spirit, when he poured it out on the Jews, then he poured it out on the Gentiles. After that, you would begin to see wonders in the heaven. There's great wonders in the host of heaven tonight, church. Amen. When places say that he shall show signs in the heaven. You need to know signs in the earth. You need to know tonight, the Bible says in Mark chapter 16 that these signs and wonders shall follow those that believe. The Bible says that they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Amen. Hallelujah. They shall speak with new tongues. This was not something new. Joel spoke of it, amen, in Joel chapter 2. And Jesus spoke of it by the writings of John Mark in Mark chapter 16 and said that these would be the signs that would follow those believers that believed in the resurrected Christ. Amen. This was not something new. This was spoken of not only by the prophet Joel, but the Lord Jesus Christ, the head prophet, the chief prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, he bore witness, amen, of what Joel had spoken and what these happened, amen, on the day of Pentecost. It had fully come, and you need to know that this work has already fully come, and we need to be added to this finished work. We need to come in to this work that has already fully come tonight, have been poured out, because the Holy Ghost, amen, he's still pouring out his spirit. And the Bible says the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon in the blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord, day of the Lord come. Here's what he's talking about. He said he's going to pour out his spirit. He's going to pour out an abundance. He's going to pour out, and your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. They're going to build up the church because prophecies for the church, prophecies for the body of Christ. And then not only are they going to prophesy, but he's going to pour it out upon his enemy. He's going to pour it out on the Gentiles, the Spirit of God, that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. He's going to pour it out on the Gentiles. And as he pours it out on the Gentiles, and then he's going to show wonders in the heaven and the earth, blood, fire, pillars of smoke. He's going to answer by fire, church. Amen. That's what he said. I indeed baptize with water, but there's one that comes after me who shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Tonight, have you seen the fire come down from heaven? Oh, I'm not talking about necessarily a physical fire. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost fire. Has it set upon you? Has it give you something to utter? Amen. Oh, the Holy Ghost has given me something to utter tonight. Amen. The Holy Ghost has given Sister Frieda something tonight. The Holy Ghost has given Brother Lloyd. I don't know if there's been any other speakers on here tonight, but the Holy Ghost is pouring out his spirit upon us. Amen. And on you tonight. As you receive, amen. He wants to fill all the house where you're sitting. Amen. He wants you to appear unto you as fire. As the Bible says, he talks about, amen, in Exodus chapter 3. He talks about that he turned aside because of this great bush that was on fire in the midst of the desert. It wasn't, the wonder was not because the bush was on fire. That's an everyday occurrence almost in the desert. But the wonder was a bush on fire not consumed. Church, tonight you are the wood that's on fire. Remember what he said when in Genesis chapter 22, here's the wood and here's the fire. Oh, tonight we've got the wood and here's the fire. It's time to have the sacrifice. It's time to have that ram. It's time to have the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. It's time, amen, that he's come because he's poured out his spirit. He's poured out his life upon you. And the Bible says, he prophesies that the moon's going to be turned into blood. The sun will be turned to darkness. That's going to happen right before the great terrible day of the Lord. You have a prophecy tonight, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Church, tonight, if you'll call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be delivered from that day of wrath. You'll be delivered of that great day of the Lord, because before it comes, before he comes, before the sun turns to darkness and before the moon turns to blood someday, you can turn to Jesus. And as you turn to Jesus, he'll pour out his spirit. He'll pour upon you the wonders, the signs, and the utterance, and the fire. It's a refining fire. Bible says in Malachi that my messenger shall suddenly come in the temple. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? God will come upon you and enter in by his spirit. It's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. Zechariah 4:6 tonight. By his spirit tonight that he's pouring out his spirit. Will you call upon the name of the Lord? Will you be delivered? For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. God's calling a remnant tonight to receive his spirit. God's calling a remnant. He's calling us together into a gathering place. Into a gathering place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Bible says over there in Acts chapter 2, verse 21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you call on him tonight? If you call on him, he'll answer. He said, before you call, I will answer. He knows what you have need of tonight. What do you need to be? You need to be saved, church. You need to be filled with the Spirit of God. Because tonight, as they were coming, this was noise abroad. They come to hear these men speak and magnify God and praise God in their own language. They knew that these men were Galileans. They knew that these men were not learned in this language. But you know what? It was reported they had been with Jesus. Tonight, church, has it been reported? Have you been with Jesus? Have you received this is that which the prophet Joel spoke of? Have you received the spirit of prophecy? Have you received miracles and signs and wonders, amen, in your life? Have you come and have you let the fire of God set upon your life? And as you spoke, as the Spirit has given you the utterance tonight unto other people's lives to give them life. You know what? Tonight you might naturally acquire or you might spiritually acquire it. But tonight is by his spirit tonight. Will you speak into other people's life? You know, tonight I could have spoken, amen, in another language. You might, in fact, by interpretation, we have over a million listeners, you know, on our broadcast, praise the Lord, through the interpretation. Somewhere there's interpretation, somewhere they're spoken of. And even though they might not all understand what I'm saying, they understand what the Spirit is saying, amen. Hallelujah, as the interpretation, because it's the Spirit that brings the interpretation of the Word of God. Tonight, amen, as you receive what God has for you, will you come, because this is that which the prophet spoke of. Oh, hallelujah, it's time for the Spirit of God to be upon you. It's time for you to be filled up. It's time for the fire of God to set upon you and let him fill the house where you're sitting. Will you come to him? Whosoever calls upon the Lord, in the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Will you be saved tonight? It's up to you. All you have to do is gather yourself and be one mind and one accord with the Lord Jesus Christ. Go ahead, will you with it?
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that, Brother John. Appreciate the wonderful word that you brought there. Just thank God that we're on the same page. And we use some of the same words, but God knows all about it. And that's just to bear witness of it. Before I have Tim to sing a song, I've got another call in here. 111, do you want to say anything? Tell us where you're at and everything? What about area code 1111? You got anything you'd like to say? Okay, well, what about with all you ones? Every one number you got showing the ones. Okay, then, we're going to have Tim to sing there, then. Appreciate you a listening. Praise the Lord, they've done hung up on us. So we're going to have Tim to sing a song here.
Of the Holy Ghost, he lives inside of me. And by the power of the Holy Ghost, I now have liberty. And by the power of the Holy Ghost, I walk in victory. And by the power of the Holy Ghost, God lives inside of me. And by the power of the Holy Ghost, I now have liberty. And by the power of the Holy Ghost, 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 I walk in victory.
Praise the Lord. I'm going to let Tim sing another song there. Praise God. Just worship the Lord with him as he sings. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
I get a lot of requests to do this song. It's called Telling the Old Story. And I hope that you enjoy it. Many times I have traveled down a long, lonely road, headed for another place to tell. Someone who needs it, the story of Jesus, and how he'll save their soul from hell. I've seen many great places, many new faces, beautiful sights where I've been. But I want you to know the reason I go, to tell the old story again. Over and over I'll tell the old story to people I've never seen before. It's the story of Jesus. Oh, how he loves us. He'll keep us safe evermore. How he paid the full cost, gave his life on the cross to save a world lost in sin. I am headed for glory, telling the story over and over again. At times I have questioned, I have wondered, Lord, is this truly your will? I've been discouraged, tired and weary. Sometimes it seems all uphill. That's when he takes all the places I've been, where he saved so many from sin. It breaks my heart like it did from the start, and I've got to go tell it again. Over and over I'll tell the old story to people I've never seen before. It's the story of Jesus. Oh, how he loves us. He'll keep us safe evermore. How he paid the full cost, gave his life on the cross to save a world lost in sin. I am headed for glory, telling that story over and over again. I am headed for glory, telling that story over and over and over and over again.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that. Two songs. Appreciate what God's doing for them. We got some prayer requests here we want to make known, and got a praise report. I don't think Brother John heard that praise report. Okay. Then it might need to be told again.
There's a brother overseas that says, please pray. Many here who can't afford to buy Bibles because of poverty. According to the World Bank, 60% population living below poverty line. Daily income is below a dollar, so you can imagine how difficult it is. Villagers don't know where or how to get Bibles, so our mission is to reach the unreached people in sharing the gospel. Please pray for us to reach maximum people in the year 2014 and bring them to the Lord Jesus. We got several families here that have lost their loved ones this week. We got the Corky McDonald family. He lost his brother yesterday. The Massengale family lost their 17-year-old daughter in a car accident on Tuesday. And my brother-in-law, the Clark family, he lost his brother. So just remember all them families. And continue to pray for Pastor Saeed that is in an Iranian prison for being a Christian. Pray for his release and pray for his children and his wife that are here in the States. And remember the Kevin Miller family, Keith Green, Fred Brannon, Daisy, David Keller, they all have cancer. They need a miracle. Remember our five kids that need salvation, Roy and Martha Sexton, they need healing. Remember this revival this week that's going on through March the 4th. That many souls will be saved and touched and healed and delivered. And remember Debbie Samples tonight. And Tony Garcia's mother had her surgery, but he said today that she's in tremendous pain, so remember her tonight. And remember Tony's wife. She's having trouble on her job. And remember Wanda and Rufus Bivens. They need healing in their bodies. And a boy that has asthmatic bronchitis, a man by the name of John that's having surgery, Laura McKnight healing. And Brother John, do you have any requests?
Yes, I do, Betty. Let's remember Mary Hobbs tonight. She was in a store yesterday and got hurt in her arm. She had to go and had a scene about, and I think she cut it. And I don't know, she's done some damage to the arm. Let's remember Carla, Frieda's daughter, about needing a job. Also, let's remember, Brother Raymond. Taylor, he was in the hospital. I don't know if he got out of the hospital now or not, but I think he has went home. But just remember, he has cancer. Let's continue to remember, I know we have mentioned in a few weeks that I've got a grandson, 15-year-old grandson, has two types of cancer. His name's Caleb Sample. Let's remember him in prayer. And also I have another grandson by the name of Ricky Sample. He has a very rare blood disease and disorder that there's only a few thousand people, and out of that few thousand people, the one that he has is like there's only like 12 people in the whole world that has this type of, and so just remember him in prayer. Let's remember Heather Broadnax. She's having some stomach problems. Amen. And then, let's remember Wendell Taylor. He needs salvation, needs healing from Lord, and let's remember, and you, I know you already mentioned Kevin Miller's family. Let's remember his mother. His mother has cancer, and
who's that, Brother John?
Brother Kevin's mother has cancer. Kevin Miller's mother has cancer.
Oh, Kevin Miller. Okay.
Yeah, I think she's got either. I think it's lung cancer. Excuse me, lung cancer. She had been healed of it one time before, Sister Betty, and then we had prayed for her and God had healed her, but that's been many years ago. But my understanding it has come back on her. So just remember that's Pat Miller is her name. And, I think most of the other ones I have is listed some of the ones that you've given. So, and like you said, let's remember this. Well, you already mentioned that about the Bibles, too, so I believe that's about it.
Okay.
Okay, praise the Lord. Sister Frieda, you got a prayer request you want to turn in?
I don't. instead of what I discussed earlier.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay, well, we'll go ahead and, okay, 937, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at there.
Yeah, Brother Yearwood?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, we've been on with you the whole time. I don't guess you can see our home phone number. We've got your own cell phone. Well, Clint just turned it off, so you won't be able to see if we've been on or not. So he turned it off. We're on our cell phone here. We've been with you from the very beginning, and I don't know what happened. Maybe the number wasn't showing up from our home phone number, but you all are sounding good. Just glad to be with you.
Oh, okay. Well, you got any prayer requests you want to make known, and we'll just turn it over to you and let you obey the Lord. We got 34 men still left.
I'll just keep praying for our loved ones. We got many that are unsaved, and they need to come into salvation. As far as I know, everyone's doing okay health-wise. Remember Keith Green, he's been fighting cancer. And he's a cousin of mine, but I don't know how he's doing right now. I haven't heard. So I pray for our church. There's a lot of people with sickness and needs a touch from God. Back to you.
All right. Well, let's just go to the Lord in prayer and pray for all these needs. Then you and Sister Green, just whichever one you want to go, just go ahead and obey the Lord. I can just pray here. Our Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come before you right now. God, we thank you, Lord, Father, for every prayer request, God. Lord, we know that there's nothing too hard for you. Lord, we just ask you, God, that you will just reach down, and God, that you will just touch, Lord, and that you will set them free, God. Them that's sick and afflicted, God, we ask you, Lord, that you heal them and make them whole. Father, from the top of their head to the sole of their feet, God, we just ask you, Lord, that you will save them souls, God, that is so near to hell. Lord, that you will take them, God, Lord, that you will turn them around, Father, Lord, that you will save them, sanctify them, and fill them, Lord, with the Holy Ghost. And, Father, we give you the praise and the glory and the honor, Father, for each and everything. God, we praise you for this revival. Lord, we praise you for each and every one that's come in here, Lord, to have a part of this revival. Lord, ask you, God, that you will bless them, Lord, stir them up. And, Father, we give you the praise and the glory and the honor, Father, for it all. God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We praise you, God. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Whichever ones want to go, just go ahead and obey the Lord. Let's see. We got another call in here. Let me get him. Then we'll get with you there, Sister Green. 706, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at. Oh, that's Sister Frieda. I'm sorry. She must have lost us and called back in there. So just go ahead there, you and Sister Green and Brother Green.
Brother Yearwood, do you see our home phone? It's 6453 is the last four digits.
No, we sure don't. All we see is four. It just now come up. It's 0477.
Okay, go ahead and hang up the home phone. All right. I'm going to turn it over to Brother Green here.
Yeah, we've been trying to get on. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
we've been trying to get on, and we listened to part of it, but, pretty much all of it. But something's wrong with our home phone, evidently, and it ain't showing up on your part. But we could hear you loud and clear. Sounded real good. And the subject tonight is this, that, and I know you discovered that pretty good there. I want to read something out of John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, and we'll start with the 30th verse. It says, he must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all, and what he has seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. And you know, I was thinking about this, Brother Yearwood. You know, we're living in the last days, and the Bible tells us in the last days that he would pour his Spirit out upon all flesh. And you uns covered that real good, said your sons and daughters should prophesy. And it goes on to say many more things, how there'd be deliverance in Zion. And I was thinking how that we're living in the greatest dispensation of grace that the world has ever seen. It's a time that the door of mercy is open. It's a time when people can go boldly to the throne of grace and find help in the time of need. They can make their petition known unto God and seek the Lord. And he has promised us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I tell you, if we call on that name, which the name of the Lord is Jesus, there's none other name given among men whereby that we must be saved. And I was thinking, you know, in the beginning there, in the Old Testament, God testified that he was going to and prophesied by the prophets and made it plain by Moses and different ones that he was going to send somebody. He was going to send a Messiah. He was going to send a deliverer. He was going to send one that if they didn't hear that one, they would be cut off from amongst the people. In other words, they would not have eternal life. And I tell you, the life that is eternal is in Christ. You know, people want to argue about whether you can lose it or not. But I tell you what, if you get outside of Christ, you'll be outside of eternal life, because you must be hid in Christ from the things of this world. You must have be in that hiding place. As Moses was upon the mountain with God, and God placed him in the cleft of the rock, and there was a place by the side of God that Moses could be placed, and he placed him there on the rock, praise God, and in the cleft of that rock, Moses was hid, praise God. I tell you, we must be hid in Christ today. And God testified in the Old Testament that Christ would come. And when he came, before he came, in the book of Malachi, he said he would send a witness before him. He would send a messenger before him. And when the messenger would testify, then Christ would come. John the Baptist began to preach by the river, and he was baptizing by the River Jordan, and he preached that there would come one mightier than him. They would come one that would baptize. He said, I baptize with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And he made it plain that he could go so far, but that's as far as he could go. He said, he must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. And he that cometh from heaven is above all. And he was talking about Jesus coming from heaven. He was talking about how that he was above all, and how that he was heavenly, and how that we are earthly. He said, one place there, he said, they said, art thou the Christ? He said, no, I'm not the Christ. There's a coming one after me. And I'm not worthy to even stoop down and unlatch his shoes. and I'm not worthy. You know, he said, I need to be baptized of you. When Jesus came and Jesus was going to be baptized in the Jordan River, and John said, I have need to be baptized of you. I can go so far. I can give you water baptism. I can put people under in the water, but that's all I can do. And they came to John confessing their sins, and he baptized them, and many of them came. And he said, O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And I tell you, the Lord is coming again, and he's coming. This time he's not coming in a manger. He's not coming, you know, meek and lowly and riding on that that donkey there when he went into Jerusalem. He's not coming that way, but he's coming back in power and great glory. And I tell you, the Holy Ghost is the one that's testifying of Jesus in this time that we're living in. The Holy Ghost is not testifying of himself. He's testifying of Jesus. And I want to look over into over into John chapter, I believe it's 15, over here. I'll start in verse four, or chapter 14. And some of this may have already been read. I'm not sure. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide forever, with you forever. So Jesus was getting ready to leave, and he said, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send you a comforter. And said he may that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. You know, he made it known there that he would not leave them comfortless, but he would send another comforter. He said, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. I tell you, the world cannot receive this. It's got to be that you have to be hid in Christ. You have to be born again to be a candidate for the Holy Ghost baptism. And John preached and said, there's coming one mightier than I, and he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And I believe that's found over in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. He said, I indeed baptize with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand. And he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And I tell you, the promise was made in the Old Testament. I think some got on it tonight about Joel 2, 28, I believe it was, how that in the last days, you know, he'd pour his Spirit upon all flesh, and how they would prophesy. The Bible tells us there is a spirit of prophecy. The Bible tells us there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that there's gifts in the Spirit, gifts of the Holy Ghost, gifts of the Spirit of God. And Jesus, in John chapter 3, the Bible said that Jesus had the Spirit without measure. I think I read that to you there in John chapter 3. I'm not sure about that. Let me turn back over here. He that cometh from above, okay, let me find it here. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. This is John 3 and 34. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. You know, John the Baptist had the Spirit in a measure. All men in time past, before the Holy Ghost came, had the Spirit of God in a measure. But they didn't have it in the fullness. And Jesus had it without measure. He had everything that he needed from God. If he needed more power, there was more power given. He was a son, and he humbled himself under the mighty hand of God. He became flesh that he might be a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. He came down and he dwelt in a fleshly body. He came down here and he had to defeat the devil, and he had to do it by the Spirit of God. And on the mother's side, he was the man, but on the father's side, he was the Son of God. He was God manifest in the flesh. And the Bible said, seen of angels, believed on in the world, and received up into glory, and that was Jesus. He came into his own, but his own did not receive him. And the Bible had made promise in the Old Testament how that he would come. And all the way through the Old Testament, that was the main subject of the Scriptures, that Christ would come and that he would bear their sins. And Isaiah 53, he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace, the Bible said, was upon him. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. I'm telling you today that the Holy Ghost is the one that testifies of Jesus. I'm telling you today,
amen,
that the Holy Ghost is in the church of the living God. I say today God is in his people. And I tell you, he's walking and talking in his people. And he's going about doing good, healing people that are pressed to the devil. And he's casting out devils and healing sick and people and opening,
amen,
blinded eyes. And he's raising the dead. And you see these things are happening. Friend, I want you to know it's not the man laying hands on people that's getting them healed. It's God moving because they're being obedient to the Heavenly Father. The Bible said there in Acts chapter 5, I believe it is, in verse 32, that he gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey him. And I tell you, if we'd be a little more obedient to God and we'd do the things that God had told us to do, and we'd do and go and work for God, then I believe God would work for us. I believe he'd come on the scene more than what he does. But many times he has come on the scene, and he comes on the scene in his time. He don't come in our time. We have this glory in an earthen vessel. We don't tell the Holy Ghost what to do. He does according to his will, according to the Father's will, according to what Jesus would have him to do. Praise God.
Amen.
In Acts 5 and 32, Peter, I believe this is Peter standing up, it said, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Now, once we come to Christ, I tell you, if you want that baptism of the Holy Ghost, once you come to Christ, you're going to have to obey Christ. You're going to have to look into the Word of God, and you're going to have to pray and seek the Lord and ask the Lord, what is it that you have me to do? And what should I do today? And what should I do tomorrow? And what do you want me to do next week? I'll tell you, but we got to take it maybe one day at a time. Sometimes people are scheduling appointments to go and preach here and there places, and they might know ahead of time where they're going. But, you know, it's going to take God to do the work. And if we're not obedient to God, we're not going to see the gifts of the Holy Ghost. We're not going to see God move, because the Bible tells us that whatsoever is bound in the heaven or bound on earth is bound in heaven. and whatsoever is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. You know, Jesus went into his hometown, Luke chapter 4, and the Bible said he could do no mighty miracles in that town because they looked at him and they said, well, he's just, you know, one of us. He's nobody special. I'm just putting it in my own words. And they could, he could not. He's just the carpenter's son. He's, you know, Mary. We know Mary, his mother. We know his brothers and sisters. And who does he think he is? He took the book and he opened it and he read in the scripture there in Isaiah how the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And went on to say, you know, to heal and that, to heal the sick and that. But I tell you, he could do no mighty miracles because of their unbelief. There's been people come into our churches with the Holy Ghost fire burning in their soul. And no doubt, many times they went out disappointed because the people would not receive them, because the people would say, well, you know, he's just this and he's that. Yeah, I know his mom and I know his dad and his brother and the different ones in his family. And, you know, somebody even said about some people one time said they got bad blood. Well, I tell you, everybody's got bad blood unless they got the blood of Jesus in their life. Because the heart of man is deceitful above all things, the Bible said, and who can know it? I'll tell you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, and he'll never enter in the kingdom of God. And the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. And neither can he know them, the Bible said. But I'll tell you what, if we'll get spiritual-minded, if we'll get the mind of Christ, we'll find out what belongs to us. We'll get in the Bible, and we'll begin to pray, and we'll begin to study, and we'll find out what it is that Jesus paid for at Calvary when he took those stripes before he went to that cross, when he went into Pilate's judgment hall, and when they planted that them thorns and up on his head, and they smote him with the rod, and they blindfolded and told him to prophesy. But I'll tell you what, he's prophesying today. He didn't prophesy that day, but he's prophesying through his people today. Praise God, and he's working. He's walking in them and talking in them. Praise God, and I tell you, they've got to be a separated people. They cannot be worldly people, loving the world and the things that are in the world, but they've got to be a separated people. They've got to be a sanctified people and a holy people. God Amen. Always separated his people from sin. If we can't dabble in sin and have fire with God, if we dabble in sin, we'll never cast out devils. Unless we get the sin out of the picture, unless we quit dabbling in that sin, we'll never please God. Praise God. I don't know if Sister Green got anything to say. She's coming this way. But I'll tell you, I'm glad to be living in this dispensation of time, Brother Yearwood, when man can get a hold of God, when he can get down to business and pray and seek the Lord, and he can find grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he can find favor because Jesus went to the cross and died for our sins. And I'm going to turn it over here to Sister Green.
Amen.
Praise God, Brother Yearwood. Thank the Lord for you all. And just wanted to tell you all that tomorrow night, 10 o'clock, is our broadcast, the Macedonian Call Around the Globe at 10 o'clock p.m., and it's going to be on, the subject's going to be mercy. And I believe that the 1-1 number that you might have been calling on earlier might be Sister Gladys. So I don't want to take any time, and I appreciate y'all and just love the message. And just thank God he filled me with the Holy Ghost. And back to you, Brother Yearwood.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate it. It might have been Sister Gladys. Her number comes up California and everywhere else, but she's done gone now, so I don't know. Anyway, I want to say what our message, what we're going to be speaking on tomorrow night is that overcometh the world. And this is that overcometh the world. Praise the Lord. I'll get it right here in a minute.
This is the victory.
Okay, this is the victory that overcometh the world. I know I'll get it right directly. And it's found in 1 John 5 and verse 4. So you can start looking from there. I might find you some reference or something other. Praise the Lord. Brother John, you got anything else you'd like to say or tell about your church or anything there? Praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. Okay, I'll, Sister Green, you don't have no scriptures, nothing you want to speak on there? We got 9 minutes left.
Well, I was thinking how their brother John covered it. I've laid my glasses aside here. Boy, we pray for us. The devil is such a liar, I tell you.
Amen.
In chapter 2 of Joel, brother John, he already mentioned it. It said, blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Praise God. And I thought right there is how the messengers, we run with a message, Brother Yearwood, and I thought how there was two runners in the day of David when he was reigning as king, and Absalom had already died, and his son, you know, and the messengers was running to go tell David, but one messenger outran the other messenger, and when he got there, he didn't have the whole message, and he had to wait on the other one that had the message. And I thought, today we're running as messengers. We're blowing the trumpet in Zion. We're sounding the alarm. We're warning the people. And I tell you, some runners out there, they don't have the message. They're sounding a brass tinkling cymbal, and they don't have the Holy Ghost. And the book of Jude talks about how they were twice dead, plucked up by the root. Praise God. They were clouds without water. I don't want to be a cloud without water. I don't want to be a vessel that's not filled with the Spirit of God, with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the evidence of speaking in tongues. And I tell you tonight, there's a false Jesus out there that people are preaching, and they're running. They're saying that he's over here, and they're saying he's over there. And Jesus said not to follow them, praise God. They're teaching
Amen.
And preaching a different Jesus. They're preaching every sound of doctrine, every wind of doctrine that cometh along. They believe it. And the world can look at the church sometime. Now, I'm not talking about the body of Christ. I'm talking about this Hollywood church, this harlot church the book of Revelation talks about. And the world says we can go back to church now, and we can wear this and we can wear that. We don't have to change. We can still do our, you know, whatever they do. And stuff that when, I believe it was you, Brother Yearwood, in the beginning tonight said that the Lord let God convict you. And if God's speaking to you to lay something down, don't pick it back up. And I thought about how there's a certain religion here before long, it may have already happened, where they give up something until Easter or until the Passover, and then they pick it back up again. I tell you, when I lay something down for God, I leave it down. And when I lay something down, it's something ungodly. It's something not clean. But thank God that, you know, we mature in this. And when we get on the sincere milk of the Word and we start to begin to grow and we give our heart to the Lord, we repent. And we go through a period of sanctification. And then we get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. So there's a time where we mature in this and when we shouldn't have to lay things down, because by now we should already be at age, should I say it like that. But once we laid it down, what I laid down 20 years ago, Brother Yearwood, I'm not about to pick it back up. Praise
Amen.
God, Brother John was talking about a filling station. And, you know, I was reading on Facebook tonight, somebody put that
the church can't, their church can't save you, and neither can your church save you. But only by the blood of Jesus can save you. But praise be to God that we still have churches that we can go to, and that we can exhort one another, and we can edify. Praise God, we can lift up the name of Jesus. You know, we can't hardly do that in our workplace. The only way we can, sometimes we may be the only Bible somebody may ever read, so it's important to look like a Christian. Praise God, because it's important to have a holy conversation. The world is watching, praise the Lord. They're watching you and I. Hallelujah. And what are we showing the world tonight? We're to be a city set up on the hill and not to go back down and to get anything. Praise the Lord. Not to pick up the things we've laid down. We're to keep them down. Praise the Lord. To never mention them again. To never pick them up again. Praise the Lord. Because we're a light. We're running this race. And it says to lay off the weights that easily possess the set you. Praise the Lord. And when we're a runner, praise God, we get the lightest shoes we can find. And we try to wear light clothing so we can run real fast. But praise the Lord, we're running tonight, but let's run with a message. And I tell you, tonight has surely been the message. This is that the prophet Joel spoke about. Praise God. Back to you, Brother Yewood. Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Appreciate it there. So you got something you want to say?
Yeah, we'd like everybody to tell their family and friends to tune in to our celebration revival. It's going on through March the 4th, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. each night.
Praise the Lord. See, I feel like God's really doing something through this revival. I know that one prayer request that we got there that come in there, that sister, we've been in that praise report that we've all been praying for. We prayed for her there last week and prayed for her all the way through this revival and find out today that God just woke her up. And, you know, that's just like God. Praise the Lord. I mean, they wasn't expecting her to live. They had her on life support machine. And like I said, she was in Dalton in Georgia in ICU, and she had a massive heart attack, and they said there ain't no way she's going to live. They started to airlift her to a hospital there in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and so they said she wasn't even able to do that, so they had to keep her, I reckon, another day or two, and maybe they might have got her stable. I never did hear if they sent her on to Chattanooga or not, but anyway, they said today that she woke up and was aggravated because somebody cut her hair. So, you know, thank God that she is alive and she is a-talking now. And so, you know, that's just like God. And her husband said he just about had a fit there just with glory because he wasn't expecting her to live. I guess he probably was thinking about the funeral home and the funeral and all that stuff, but thank God he don't have to think that now. So I tell you, God is still a God. He's still a doing the work that he said he would do. Praise the Lord. Brother John?
Yeah, brother.
Go ahead and tell us about your church there and your services and everything there.
Okay. We have services on Wednesday night, 6 p.m., and Sunday afternoon right now we're meeting at 2. We'll probably be doing like that for another month, and then from time in April, end of March, we'll be going back to our other services on Sunday. But we just praise the Lord for what it is. It's 114 East Main Street, Thomason, Georgia, and we just want everybody, if you're in the area or visiting, that you come in and be with us, and if you live in the area, that just reach out and come and be with us. We lift up the name of Jesus, and we just thank the Lord that this is that the prophet Joel. We live it today. He's still pouring out his spirit. What Joel spoke of many years ago, we're still living it today. We're experiencing that pouring out of his spirit, and we thank the Lord that he's still doing that.
Praise the Lord. Sister Joanne, you're around our close. Tell your church's address and everything there.
Praise the Lord. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
We're at Heavenly Highway Tabernacle, 5990 Michael Road, West Middletown, Ohio.
Praise the Lord. So,
and Brother Green wanted to read a scripture, if that's all right, Brother Yearwood.
Yeah, we got 29 seconds. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if this was read tonight or not. It's in Isaiah 28:9. It says, "Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest, wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear." Back to you, Brother Yearwood.
Amen. Appreciate that. So just about 10, 12 seconds ago, we went off. So God bless you, and everybody understood what we're going to be ministering on there tomorrow night. You can find it in 1 John, the 5th chapter, and verse 4. That's where one of the references is going to be at there that you can start out from. And so, let's see here. You got it written down.
This is the victory that overcometh the world.
This is the victory that overcometh the world. So, God bless everybody, and we'll talk to you there tomorrow night.
God bless you all.
God bless.